This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
What if I told you that the seamless, perfectly responsive AI sitting on your kitchen counter right now was actually paid for by a $1.8 billion corporate bloodbath?
And a pretty intense geopolitical trade war, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you interact with modern consumer tech, there's this this profound expectation of just absolute frictionless magic.
Right. You just expect it to work.
You tap a piece of glass, you ask a question, and a perfectly synthesized answer just glides onto your screen. It feels totally weightless.
It does feel weightless. Yeah. And, well, that is entirely by design. The whole consumer tech industry spends literally billions of dollars to hide the machinery from you.
Oh, absolutely.
But the moment you look past that polished surface, you know, you realize the utopia we're being sold is actually built on a foundation of intense friction.
And that is exactly what we're going to get into today. Because for you, the learner, the person who wants to bypass the shiny marketing slogans and actually understand the mechanisms driving the world right now, we are ripping the smooth glass off of the AI economy.
Yeah, we have a really fascinating stack of sources from late June 2026.
We really do. We're talking corporate SEC filings, geopolitical trade updates, polymarket betting odds, and some massive product launches.
Right. And our mission today is to look under the hood and figure out how these huge colliding forces are shaping the tools you use every single day.
Because today is really about separating the utopian narratives from the harsh realities.
Exactly. We're going to examine the actual financial ledgers, the regulatory choke points, and, you know, the massive technological hurdles that companies are desperately trying to solve before you ever even open their apps.
So let's just start with the ultimate reality check, which is the corporate ledger.
Yeah.
We constantly hear this narrative that AI is going to be our helpful co-pilot.
Right, the co-pilot era.
Yeah, that it's going to boost our productivity, handle all our busy work, and usher in this golden age of job creation. But looking at our sources, the financial data is telling a drastically different story right now. What did we actually see in the latest filings?
Well, the most glaring data point we have comes from Oracle's recent SEC annual report.
Okay.
Over the last 12 months, Oracle cut 21,000 jobs.
Wow.
Yeah. Their total headcount is now down to 141,000. But the critical piece of information here isn't just the sheer number of layoffs. It's the justification.
Right.
Oracle explicitly cited AI adoption and deployment as the reason for these workforce reductions.
Wait, they actually put that in writing? I feel like companies usually hide behind, you know, vague phrases like macroeconomic headwinds or optimizing synergies or something.
They usually do, yeah. But what makes this fascinating is the power of that transparency. When a company files an SEC report, they're doing so under penalty of perjury.
Oh, right. So they can't lie.
Exactly. They cannot use marketing spin. They have to tell their investors the unvarnished truth about where the money is going and why. And this transition came with a staggering $1.8 billion restructuring cost.
A $1.8 billion cost. Just to restructure.
Right. And to put that into perspective, that is nearly five times their restructuring cost from the previous year.
Five times. And I mean, it's not just Oracle, right? If you look at the wider tech sector, the numbers are just massive.
They really are. If you combine Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and Meta, U.S. tech sector layoffs have topped 100,000 just this year alone.
That is wild.
Yeah. And the legal commentary in our sources points out a crucial shift here. AI replaces jobs is no longer a provocative headline or a futuristic think piece.
Right.
It is a legally binding number filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
I'm really struggling to square this, honestly. We've been fed this narrative for years that AI is going to be an additive force. But if Oracle is literally paying $1.8 billion just to get humans out of the way, is the co-pilot era already over?
Brad,
like, are these companies just treating AI as an automated middle manager to slash their operational costs?
That is the natural assumption, right? But it's actually deeper than just cutting payroll. This raises a really important question about the transition phase we are currently in.
Okay, how so?
That $1.8 billion isn't just severance packages. It is the cost of completely redesigning corporate workflows. Efficiency at this new scale requires upfront structural destruction.
Structural destruction. Okay, let me make sure I understand the mechanism here. Mm. It's not just firing people to save a salary.
Right.
It's like, well, It's like ripping out an old, congested highway system to build a high-speed bullet train. You have to buy out the land, demolish the old roads, and lay completely new, highly specialized tracks before a single train can even run.
That is a perfect analogy, actually.
So that $1.8 billion is basically the cost of laying new track.
Exactly. Companies are realizing that the initial phase of AI integration isn't about giving a helpful digital assistant to a human worker. It's about fundamentally redesigning the system so the human worker is no longer the bottleneck.
Wow.
Yeah, they are tearing out human-centric processes to install AI-native infrastructure.
And when you are dealing with structural destruction at that massive scale, I mean, spending billions to completely rewire a workforce, this tech ceases to be just another corporate software product.
Oh, absolutely. It becomes a vital national asset.
Right. And I think that's exactly why we are seeing this corporate ledger bleed directly into geopolitical trade wars.
Yeah.
If this tech is that powerful for a single company, nations are going to treat it as a matter of absolute sovereignty.
And they already are. We're observing a classic tit-for-tat escalation right now, where the control of technology and supply chains is equated directly with national security.
Yeah.
Just this month, the U.S. Pentagon blacklisted major Chinese tech firms, specifically adding Alibaba, Baidu, and BYD to a military-associated corporate list.
And China didn't just take that lying down, obviously.
Right.
Our sources show they just rolled out some pretty severe retaliation measures.
Correct. Beijing sanctioned 56 U.S. companies in a highly coordinated sweep. 10 of these firms, including MP Materials, USA Rare Earth, and Teal Drones, are facing strict export controls. And the other 46, which include major defense players like Lockheed Martin, Boeing Defense, Shield AI, and Anduril, they're facing absolute government procurement bans.
Wait, let me push back on this geopolitical maneuvering for a second. China is banning U.S. defense companies like Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
Lockheed isn't exactly selling fighter jets to the Chinese military in the first place, you know? This sounds like geopolitical shadow boxing. Is there actual teeth to these sanctions, or is it just performative?
It's a great point. Geopolitical analysts and our sources actually describe it as a measured response for exactly that reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The targeted U.S. aerospace and defense firms have very little financial exposure to the Chinese consumer market. It is largely geopolitical signaling.
So it's a morning shot.
Essentially, yes. Neither side is dropping the absolute hammer on the broader global economy just yet, but they are drawing very clear lines in the sand regarding rare earth minerals and advanced technology.
But, you know, while that shadow boxing is happening on the defense side, real tangible damage is actually occurring on the software side. Let's look at the advanced AI model Fable 5. The U.S. government slapped export controls on it, and according to our sources, that model has been locked down for 13 days now.
Which is an absolute eternity in the current AI development cycle.
Why is that? I mean, 13 days doesn't sound that long if you're manufacturing, say, a car or a television.
Because software, and especially machine learning, it just doesn't sit still. In a landscape where model decay is a real issue, and where open source competitors are iterating and releasing new weights literally by the hour, a 13-day freeze isn't just a pause.
It's a massive setback.
Exactly. It severely damages your market momentum, your user feedback loop, and your deployment schedules.
It's gotten so bad that four bipartisan U.S. lawmakers, including Representative Sam Liccardo, have formally written to the Commerce Secretary.
Yes, the June 26th deadline.
Right. They set a strict deadline of June 26th, demanding an explanation, warning that these broad export controls might accidentally restrict the deployment and use of advanced AI within the United States itself. I mean, are we so eager to block others from getting our advanced AI that we're accidentally locking the doors from the inside?
That is the core paradox of tech protectionism, honestly. When you build a fence high enough to keep everyone else out, you often find you can't see over it yourself.
Wow.
And the blockade on Fable 5 proves how quickly a piece of software, which is ultimately just math and code, can instantly be classified as a weapon.
That's terrifying, actually.
It is. What's happening is a massive shift in power. The ultimate control over these models is shifting away from the tech CEOs in Silicon Valley and directly into the hands of government regulators in Washington and Beijing.
And the lawmakers' letter really highlights the fear that this regulatory apparatus is just, well, too blunt of an instrument for something as fluid as artificial intelligence.
Precisely. Regulators are trying to use 20th century trade mechanisms on 21st century digital physics, and it's causing immense friction.
So I've heard rumors that because of all this friction, the next generation of these so-called God models, you know, the ones that are supposed to change everything, are actually hitting a massive wall.
Mm.
What are the prediction markets actually saying about the technology pipeline?
They are saying the pipeline is freezing up. This geopolitical tug of war, combined with massive technical hurdles, is creating a huge vacuum at the absolute top of the AI food chain.
Interesting.
The systems that consumers and developers assume are invincible are actually quite fragile. You mentioned Fable 5 is stuck in regulatory purgatory.
Right.
Our sources note Anthropic's international head, Chris Sharry, is publicly confident it will be restored, hoping a new government ID verification policy rolling out on July 8th will satisfy the regulators.
But it's not just the regulators causing problems, is it? The other titan in the room, GPT 5.6, is facing severe technical delays.
Yes, it is.
Just look at Polymarket, the prediction betting platform.
Yep.
The odds for GPT 5.6 launching in late June completely crashed. They plummeted from an 83% probability all the way down to 18%.
And we should clarify for the listener, this isn't just people voting on internet polls.
No. There is over $1.23 million of real money on the line in that specific betting pool. The market expectation has almost entirely shifted to July, with July 31st odds sitting up at 94%.
Right.
So what is the actual roadblock here? If they aren't being blocked by the government like Fable 5, why the massive delay? Are they just taking extra time to polish the user interface?
Not at all. They are wrestling with fundamentally difficult computer science problems. Our sources indicate they are dealing with complex alignment fixes, trying to perfect autonomous agent coding, and perhaps the biggest hurdle, they are trying to stabilize a 1.5 million token context window.
Wait, before we move on, for those of us who aren't machine learning engineers, what does a 1.5 million token context window actually mean under the hood? Why is that causing such a huge delay?
Okay, so think of a context window as the AI's short-term working memory. When you ask it a question, how much background information can it keep in its head at one time to give you a coherent answer? One token is roughly 3/4 of a word.
God.
So 1.5 million tokens means they are trying to build an AI that can perfectly hold the equivalent of about 3 thick textbooks in its active memory simultaneously.
3 thick textbooks.
Yeah, without getting confused, forgetting the middle chapters, or hallucinating facts.
That sounds incredibly computationally heavy.
It is. The physics of maintaining that much active memory without the model degrading or going off the rails, which is what those alignment fixes address, is an engineering nightmare.
I can imagine.
And then you add autonomous agent coding, which means giving the AI the ability to not just write code, but actively test it, fix its own errors, and deploy it without a human double-checking it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Building a system that can do all three of those reliably is exactly why the predictive markets are crashing.
So you have Fable 5 sidelined by the government,
yeah,
and GPT 5.6 sidelined by the physics of computer science. The legal and industry commentary in our sources points out a massive lesson here for anyone building a business. Relying on a single top-tier model for your entire workflow is an incredible risk.
It really is.
It's like building your multi-million dollar factory around a single bespoke supplier. And one day, the delivery truck just stops coming. The pipeline just freezes.
And nature abhors a vacuum. While the two biggest closed system names are sidelined, we're seeing open-weight models, and specifically Chinese models like GLM 5.2, rushing in to capture that market share.
Let's define open-weight models quickly, because that term gets thrown around a lot.
Mm.
How does it differ from something like Fable 5?
Sure. If a closed model like Fable 5 is like leasing a car where you aren't allowed to open the hood, an open-weight model means the developers have released the underlying mathematical blueprints.
The actual code.
Well, the weights that determine how the AI makes decisions, you can download it, open the hood, tinker with the engine, and run it on your own private servers. You aren't reliant on an external API connection.
Which gives you total control. So my question to you, and really to the listener who is building or working with these tools right now, if the absolute titans of the industry are stumbling on both tech hurdles and government regulations, is the multi-model insurance strategy, meaning, you know, actively building your systems to swap between several different AIs at a moment's notice, is that the only way to survive?
I would argue it is absolutely essential. The true competitive moat in AI today isn't just having the smartest, most capable code.
Right.
Code can be delayed by physics. Code can be sanctioned by the Commerce Department. The real moat is having reliability and diverse data pipelines.
That makes total sense.
Multi-model insurance guarantees that a regulatory block in Washington or a technical delay in Silicon Valley doesn't instantly destroy your operational capacity.
Okay, I want to zoom out and look at the macro picture we've painted over the last 15 minutes. It's honestly a mess.
It's chaotic.
Yeah. We have an SEC-documented bloodbath of 100,000 tech layoffs to pay for new infrastructure. We have global superpowers trading massive export bans and procurement blocks. We have the top-tier AI pipelines freezing up.
It is a landscape defined entirely by friction and disruption.
Exactly. Yeah. But here is the massive paradox. We spent all this time talking about failed physics and trade wars, but if you look away from the back end and look toward Wall Street and the consumer market, they aren't acting like there's friction at all.
Not at all.
It looks like a utopia of endless capital and frictionless magic.
The contrast is completely jarring. Let's just look at the capital fire hose. Despite all the pipeline risks we just discussed, the money is flowing faster than ever.
Right.
SpaceX just priced a massive inaugural unsecured bond. They originally aimed for $20 billion, but bumped it up to $25 billion.
Because the demand was so high.
Exactly. The demand from investors was a staggering $89
billion. $89 billion in demand. Just to clarify, an unsecured bond means investors are lending SpaceX this money without requiring hard assets like rockets or real estate as collateral, right?
Correct.
They are just betting on the sheer creditworthiness and future stability of the company.
Precisely. And they have debt tranches stretching all the way out to 2056 maturities, with their secondary market stock sitting happily around $150.
Which is wild. Investors are essentially betting tens of billions of dollars on 3 decades of stability for a space company, while the AI timeline is moving so fast that a 13-day delay is a literal crisis.
Yeah, it's a completely different mindset.
The money hose is on full blast, and it's not just Wall Street. If you walk into your living room or open your laptop, the consumer tools are smoother and more polished than they have ever been.
What are the consumer launches showing us this week?
Well, today, Google is launching a brand new $99 Gemini-powered home speaker across 18 countries. It's their first new smart speaker in 6 years. But what's fascinating isn't the hardware, it's the experience. Because of these AI models, it can now process multiple complex commands at once while remembering the nuanced context of an entire conversation. You don't have to talk to it like a robot anymore. Oh, and it boasts 2.5 times the base of the old model.
It's presenting the most computationally complex technology in human history inside a woven fabric speaker that plays your morning playlist.
Exactly. And it's happening in the workplace, too. Anthropic just launched the Claude tag for Slack in beta for their enterprise and team customers.
Right. The new Slack integration.
Yeah. The user experience is totally frictionless. You just type @Claude in a Slack channel. And suddenly your whole team shares a single AI instance with continuous memory.
So everyone can see what the AI is doing.
Right. One team member can ask it to start analyzing a spreadsheet, and 3 hours later, another person can jump into that exact same thread and pick up exactly where the AI left off, with the AI maintaining all the context.
Yeah.
It's totally seamless.
And behind the scenes, managers can set specific tool and memory access per channel, ensuring data privacy. It's a highly refined, frictionless workflow.
So how do we reconcile this? On one hand, we have $89 billion being thrown at space bonds, $99 speakers that understand conversational nuance, and virtual employees seamlessly collaborating in our Slack channels.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we have $1.8 billion corporate bloodbaths, government blockades, and 1.5 million token context windows breaking the minds of engineers. How do these two realities exist at the exact same moment?
It's crucial for you, the listener, to understand the causal link here. They don't just exist at the same moment. One powers the other.
Okay.
The incredibly smooth consumer experience, tagging an AI in Slack to instantly do your team's analytical work, or having a $99 speaker flawlessly remember your context, that smoothness is the direct result of the massive back-end friction.
I see.
The reason Oracle is tearing out its human workflows and spending $1.8 billion to restructure is precisely to build the hyper-efficient infrastructure that allows that consumer experience to feel like magic.
So consumers only ever see the polished end product. They don't see the poly market betting odds crashing. They don't see the geopolitical shadow boxing happening behind the server rack.
Exactly. The illusion of a frictionless, automated future is being paid for in real time by immense geopolitical and economic upheaval.
Wow. So what does this all mean for you? Let's trace the journey we just took. We started with the hard numbers, Oracle tearing up the old highway of their workforce to lay down AI bullet train tracks, putting the reality of job replacement permanently on the SEC ledger.
Right.
Then we moved to the geopolitical chessboard, watching superpowers use defense bands as weapons to secure their supply chains. We watched the biggest tech pipelines freeze up under the weight of computer science limits and regulation. And finally, we ended up right back at the seamless $99 speaker on your desk.
It brings everything full circle to how we interact with these systems on a daily basis.
It really does. So I want you to look at the tools you rely on today to do your work, to run your business, to manage your life. Are you completely dependent on a single pipeline? When the delivery truck just stops coming, what is your multi-model insurance policy?
And if I can leave you with one final lingering thought to build on all of this.
Please do.
If massive corporations are spending billions of dollars in restructuring fees to replace workers with AI, and global superpowers are fighting literal trade wars to control the underlying mathematics, what happens when these incredibly smooth, consumer-friendly agents like Claude and Gemini, the ones sitting in our private Slack channels and listening in our living rooms, what happens when they have to make a split-second choice?
Yeah.
When the chips are down and there's a conflict between prioritizing what is best for you, the user, what is best for the corporate bottom line, or what is demanded by national security, who do these systems really serve?
It brings us right back to the beginning. You tap the perfectly smooth glass on your screen, and it feels like absolute magic. But underneath that glass, the gears are grinding, the costs are staggering, and the real power struggles are just getting started. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. See you next time.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.